are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? And welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, October the 24th, and a big night in Indy to get this thing started. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast. I write for the Detroit News and Associated Press. I'm a Pistons fan and follower just like you guys my entire life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Feels good to have Pistons basketball back in your life, especially on a win tonight. We're going to run through the facts and figures from Wednesday. I'm going to give you my three biggest takeaways from this game. We're also later on going to check in with Doc Joe Brown, one of our favorites, for his preseason thoughts. He's optimistic. I love it. And we're going to talk about the Atlanta Hawks to close the show, tonight's opponent in the home opener. But if you got some predictions, go ahead and call those in. We'll spill over into next week if you'd like. So give us a call, 810-666-1546. Leave a voicemail. Leave your name. Leave where you're calling from. Keep it under a minute and a half or so, and we'll get you on the show with your bold predictions, your vanilla predictions, whatever you think is going to happen. Put it on wax like we're doing here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Now, as I'm saying this, I'm remembering that we did the Mason call every time the Pistons got the win last year, and now that Mason call is built into the jingle. I don't quite know what to do with that, so we'll skip it for tonight. Maybe we'll come up with something else we do when the Pistons get a win, but to be determined for that one there. And I promise that we will not get super up after wins every single night this season. We will not get super down after losses all year. We're going to try to keep it as even keel as we can, even when the inevitable three-game winning streak comes or more. We know that's going to happen, or the three-game losing streaks at some point, a couple injuries, whatever it is. I know you don't come here for the screaming and yelling for the Locked On Pistons podcast. It does happen. It has happened before, referencing the post-Clippers meltdown last year that I had on this show. But you guys with the videos on Twitter, I'll leave some of the screaming and yelling for you guys for now. But I do have to admit that after one game, for all the Blake news coming down on Tuesday, to all the things that were happening around the Detroit and Michigan sports scene on Tuesday, the football teams that are seeming to be playing out the string the rest of the season, in the garbage completely for Detroit sports, the Red Wings losing a couple of leads these last couple nights as well. The World Series going on with Verlander and Scherzer on the mound. Go Nationals, by the way. It feels good to get this win that was somewhat unexpected, especially the injuries that the Pistons have had. And they did it. The Pistons get the win without Blake Griffin on Wednesday night in Indiana, Central Division rival. This may be a red-letter team. I haven't figured out exactly who the red-letter teams are, but I believe that Indiana is certainly one of those teams. For those of you not familiar, the red letter teams are the teams that the Pistons will be probably fighting with in the Eastern Conference standings for positioning to earn a playoff berth, to get a higher seed in the playoffs. Indiana is one of those teams that could theoretically finish below the Pistons or right above the Pistons, just kind of right in that mix of groups of teams. So we call those red letter games more special than your average games, because if they win it, it's a huge win. If they lose it, it's a huge loss in the course of an 82-game season. But 119-110 was the final season. Pistons, of course, 1-0 after that one. A big fourth quarter, outscoring the Indiana Pacers 36-24. In the last stanza, going away at the end after kind of a back-and-forth game throughout, Andre Drummond, 32 points, 23 rebounds with 7 on the offensive glass, 4 blocks, 3 steals, 8 of 10 from the line. Every time I look at that stat line, it gets a little better. Just an amazing stat-stuffing performance by Andre Drummond, and nothing phony about it. Just an outstanding game for the big man, stepping up when he needed to as the his front court mate Griffin, obviously unavailable for what I'm saying and terming it as 7 to 10 games, so 6 to 9, nice. More games here on the stretch for Blake Griffin. Kind of a guess, kind of reading between the lines a little bit there. But 30 points, how about that? A career high for Luke Kennard on opening night, 6 for 9 from three. Another nice performance for Luke Kennard. Nice performances all around for the Pistons tonight as we do the rundown here. Derrick Rose, 18 points and 9 assists, 10 points for Tony Snell. We expect hot and cold Tony. This was kind of mid-range Tony Snell. A plus 11, good performance for him. Langston Galloway and Luke Kennard also good in double digits in the plus-minus category. The Pistons, 11 for 24 from 3. Numbers down there on attempts, a trend that we noticed and talked about during the preseason quite a bit. A good percentage for the Pistons. They shot just shy of 35 attempts from 3 per game last year, and again, 24 on opening night. But it makes a little bit of sense when you have Blake out. He became a hoister last year. Nothing wrong with that, but volume shooter from three-point land. Replace him with Derrick Rose, who did not shoot a three-pointer. You put the ball in Andre Drummond's hands a little more, a lot more, without Blake Griffin. Seems natural that you might get that in terms of the lack of three-point shots. I'm not complaining about this, obviously, after a win, but even after a loss, I wouldn't have been. But it is something to monitor. Seems to fly in the face of Dwayne Casey's mantra last year of you let it fly all day long. And I'll say this, if Derrick Rose is going to be making fools look silly like he did with Malcolm Brogdon on that crossover, it's all good here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. The low lights, and it's not one of the biggest takeaways, so we'll just get it out of the way now. Christian Wood was rough in 4 minutes in the second quarter. Thonmaker really struggled at times. We're not going to dwell on that after one game, small sample size, all that stuff. But for Indiana, 27 and 13 after the payday for Domantas Sabonis. Evan Turner. He didn't have a game for it. We'll see him tonight, actually. Evan Turner in town. But Miles Turner, 25 points and 9 rebounds with 3 blocks. Malcolm Brogdon, 22 and 11. I just wanted to point out that while combing through a lot of the preview stuff, and we talk about The Athletic and how much we like the website here on the show, I encourage you guys to subscribe. But the new Pacers writer on The Athletic, they did a roundtable that James kind of headed up with the Central Division Athletic writers. And he predicted, or the Pacers writer predicted, and the name escapes me, might be a he, might be a she, for now that I think about it, but predicted that TJ Warren was going to be second in the imaginary MVP race for Central Division MVP, ahead of Blake Griffin, who was everyone else's number two from that roundtable that they put up. And I hope he's all right from the spill he took when Thonmaker drew the charge. And yeah, it probably shouldn't. Those kind of plays should probably not be encouraged anymore in basketball. You like it because obviously it's within the rules. Good play by Thonmaker, but man, dangerous play to see him hit the deck like that. But whoa, man! I mean, TJ Warren, and I like TJ Warren, but second most valuable player in the Central Division. He's like the sixth best player on the Pacers, so I would maybe slow my roll a little bit on the TJ Warren praise coming into the year. A decent three-point shooting performance for the Phoenix Suns last year in garbage games, all 82 of them. I think we've crossed a line where maybe we think TJ Warren's a little better than he was. He went from the swing of him being wildly underrated to wildly overrated in a few months span. Was my head still spinning about how that went. But the Pistons now home for 3. Starting tonight with the home opener against the Atlanta Hawks. I'll be in the house. Come say hi if you see me. Saturday against Philly at home. Monday against Indiana. Again, a win like that, somewhat unexpected on Wednesday night. It kind of allows you to dream, like, right? What if these guys can be 3-1 after 4 games? Maybe 4-0. Who knows? Maybe you want to get super crazy and think they're going to beat the 76ers and the other teams at home this weekend. But the road red letter game, going to Indiana, a place that you haven't had a lot of success the last handful of years, it's a nice start to the season without Blake Griffin. Just a really nice performance. Like we said, nice a few times here on the first segment. But the Hawks tonight, this is the season opener for them. We'll go into that a little bit later on. 7 o'clock tonight at the Little Caesars Arena. But Indochina is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, at checkout. Indochino, a great place to find your formal wear. But up next, I'm going to give you my 3 biggest takeaways you know, there's a lot of things to observe from one game of basketball, but the three biggest things that we're taking away from Wednesday night's win, that's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, later on, we're going to hit the Google voicemail line to hear from you guys. We got Doc Joe Brown checking in with some preseason thoughts. He sent them in before the game started on Wednesday, but they still ring true. After the big win for the Pistons, we're also going to talk about Atlanta, tonight's opponent, a little bit later on in the show. But my three biggest takeaways from the 119-110 victory on Wednesday night in Indiana against the Pacers. Number one, it's got to be contract year Andre Drummond. Contract year. Condre. Maybe that's the name we go for it. Take that and run with it if you want. I liked Drummondrum that Wojo had in his column in the Detroit News on Wednesday. I know some of you were getting after Bob on Twitter about that column. This will play out. We'll see how it happens. But Bob Wojo's, you know, mind frame about Andre Drummond representing, like we know that most of the people listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast are the diehards. Most of you guys are the positive ones, the Pistons fans out there. It's the minority of Detroit sports fans that are still super excited about the Pistons. I know this, and I think you know this too. I think that Wojo's opinions and where he's at on Drummond is probably the majority of where Pistons fans are at, or where Detroit sports fans are at with this Pistons team and this Andre Drummond era. And if you guys know me, and I believe you do, because we spend a lot of time together throughout these Pistons seasons, and we get each other through the cold, dark winter nights, and we have some fun in the summer as well. We have a little fling in the summer here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But Drummond, you know, I'm hot and cold on him. And compared to a lot of you guys, I'm definitely more cold on Andre Drummond. But and I do have a confession to make to you guys. I was out watching the game with a friend here downtown, and so I wasn't active on Twitter, but I wanted to make a note of some things, and I went back and watched some of the highlights after getting home and read some of the articles and all that stuff too. But a note that I made, an email that I wrote to myself, was 91-91. The Pistons worked it all the way back, early fourth quarter, tied it up, had been kind of hanging around, made a couple of big shots to tie it back up, and Andre Drummond takes a defensive rebound, goes the length of the court, turns it over, and Indiana comes back down and scores. About 9.5 minutes left, something like that. Made the note, and I thought to myself, man, if they lose this game, they come all the way back, they hang around, and at the kind of the worst time, right when you know, need to be smart, need to be making big plays, Andre Drummond kind of was feeling himself a little bit and goes all the way down and makes that play. It felt big at the time, and I just kind of rolled my eyes a little bit at it. But, man, I got to tell you, and that's a bad play. Dwayne Casey's talked about it, sauntering down the court, I think was his term, maybe even some other ones too, dipsy-do, something like that. But so I know that Dwayne Casey's going to bring that up in film, and I know that it's not what the Pistons want, and it should not be what Pistons fans want from Andre Drummond. But that is the extreme minority on plays that Andre Drummond made on Wednesday. He was outstanding. His face-up game was great, which is not something we've seen. He missed a little bit early on some drives. But I told you in the preseason that I thought that Andre Drummond looks like he is in fantastic shape. He looks like he is active right now. Again, trying to do too much at times, certainly during the preseason, throwing up the jump shots and all that stuff we don't want to see. But channeling that a little bit more on Wednesday night, we know it's never going to be 100% perfect, and that's not a realistic expectation for any players on any team. But, man, Andre Drummond, contract year Andre Drummond, got the dollar signs in his eyes. Maybe that's coming out of Tom Gores' pocket down the road. Maybe not. We have talked about that. We will continue to talk about the extension, to extend or not to extend, on Condre Drummond, the contract year. So we'll see. But that's the biggest takeaway I have from the game. Number two, and I'll throw Andre into this mix as well. There were three people, particularly in this game and probably season long, that needed to step up for the Pistons, and they did. And that's Luke Kennard, Andre Drummond, and Derrick Rose. Luke Kennard, Markieff Morris said it after the game, can't believe that Luke could fill it up like that. Derrick Rose just really making it happen for the bench. We're going to talk about his minutes a little bit here in a second. But Andre Drummond, I mean, those three guys, Luke, Rose, and Drummond, those are probably the second, third, and fourth best players on this team. Not in that order. Andre's number two. Luke, I got it at number three. Derrick Rose at number four. And I know I'm coming in a little bit slow compared to some of you guys on the Derrick Rose bandwagon, and we're not there fully yet, no doubt about it. But who's better than him as far as being the fourth best player on this team? Right now, I mean, Tony Snell, maybe on one of those good Tony nights, sure, but just a role guy, a bit player. Bruce Brown, hopefully down the road, maybe even this season if it goes according to plan, but certainly not now. But as far as the elephant in the room maybe right now, it brings us to kind of my third biggest takeaway, and that's Reggie Jackson. Watch the back. We know how things like that linger. He looked awful in the preseason. That continued into his 20 minutes on Wednesday night. I'm not super convinced that we're going to see much from him in the season's early going, and you might consider sitting him down and trying to get his back right now, because he's obviously not where he needs to be. He's not the same guy right now. We've seen Reggie Jackson struggle through injuries over these past several years, and we know that when he gets his body right, he can be refreshingly good at times for this team. So we need that version of Reggie Jackson. Maybe it's time to do a little, not load management. Sitting down guys because of injuries is not always load management. And I don't believe necessarily that this Blake Griffin thing is load management really at all. I think it's an injury that he's dealing with, and I think that that's not what that situation is. But talking about Reggie Jackson possibly going down and looking at the second half of back-to-back, I don't know what you can expect from him tonight. But isn't it refreshing to know that Tim Frazier is there? And no, Tim Frazier is not Tiny Archibald, but he's not Jose Calderon either. So it's nice to have him as an option, guy that can get some real minutes for you in a pinch. Didn't do anything on Wednesday night, but the fact that he's there is a nice little insurance policy, and you got a pat Ed Stefanski and company on the back for that. Even Jordan Bone in an absolute pinch as the fourth point guard could be a guy, and maybe this is time for Bruce Brown going forward to step up and play a little point guard minutes. Man, I just really think sometimes about Bruce Brown and how nice it would be to have your point guard also be an impact defensive player. And I know that's putting a lot on the shoulder of a second-year guy and even into a third year, but wow. I just think of the possibilities of Bruce Brown, and I know a lot of you guys are down on him offensively. Looking at the numbers now, 7 points, 29 minutes, 4 assists. So, you know, the potential's there. We've seen it in summer league. We've seen it at times in the preseason as well. But just allow me to dream a little bit in a world of a two-way point guard like Bruce Brown to, you know, make it happen and make this Pistons defensive group a little bit better than the days of Reggie Jackson and Ish Smith and Derrick Rose playing point guard, which are nice on the offensive side of the court at times, but man, a liability defensively. But talking about Derrick Rose in his 27 minutes, the load management question, why is this, and again, I'm not criticizing load managing. I talked about how the team should be load managing players all of last season, Blake Griffin, Reggie Jackson, Andre Drummond, everyone. Why is this load management suddenly so important for this franchise? Why has it gone from, like, not important at all to so important? You completely ignore it all last season, and now we're going to be watching Derrick Rose's minutes all year? Now he can't come in when he's being effective. Now he can only play about 27 minutes, and that's probably right. It's okay, but it's just it strikes me as odd that we've gone from the extreme end of no load management to all the load management, and it's something that we'll keep an eye on. But, man, it really makes you think that last year there was some things that were wasted and missed, and that hopefully, you know, there's a level head kept about it and smart decisions are made about load management all season long for the Detroit Pistons. And I know we're excited about basketball season, but the easiest way to probably bet is on the weekend and playing some football. And as a true football fan, you already know, just as sure as the seasons change, Tom Brady will keep the Patriots in the game, and the Lions are probably going to disappoint you. But every weekend, our favorite Gridiron Warriors put their skills to the test, so why aren't you doing the same? We're almost halfway through the NFL season, so now is the time to get off the sidelines and get in the game with MyBookie. That's right, MyBookie is the premier place to bet on all your favorite pro and college football action every weekend. They always have the most up-to-date lines and the most prop bets of any sports book on the planet. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and bet with the best at MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, maybe try a parlay. You want to pick your locks for the week, Put them together in one parlay bet. I know you've made it happen. I know you've got dreams of making it happen again. And when they all come through, the rewards will be huge. If you're tired of watching the games from the couch with nothing to gain, the Lions just disappoint you every damn Sunday, MyBookie wants to get your mind off everything else and back in the game, winning some cash. The best part is, if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. That's right. If you put in $1,000, they will give you $1,000. That's double your initial deposit you can use on all your favorite picks. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
Yo, what's up, Matt? This is Doc Joe Brown, real name, no gimmicks. Thanks for the plug, as always. I'm leaving this voicemail before the Indiana game tonight because I had some thoughts that I just wanted to get off my chest. Everywhere that I go, people ask me, are the Pistons better? My family, my friends, because they know, like, hey, you're the super fan around me. And my response to that has always been the same, just of the recent couple weeks or whatever, is sometimes the team doesn't necessarily need to get better. It's just that the landscape around them needs to fall in their favor. And prior to the injuries with Blake and things like that, it still seems like everything is falling our way to perform better than it was last year. So if you look back this through the course of NBA history, it's happened all the time. Like when the Bulls finally beat the Pistons, it wasn't like it wasn't the same teams playing each other for 3 years. It was just that the Pistons started to get older. Michael Jordan started to get more athletic, entering his prime. And so the same thing happened last year. Boogie Cousins, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson all went down. And it's like, here, Raptors, take this championship. So I believe the landscape has really fallen in the favor of the Pistons. We play Indiana 4 times, as you mentioned several times on this podcast. LeBron's been out west for 2 years. Cleveland is deep in their rebuild. The Raptors, there's no more DeRozan, who used to torch the Pistons. Neither is there Kawhi. So, I mean, the landscape is falling in our favor. I don't want to say anything extreme, but sometimes your team can be just as good as they were in prior years. But on the wins and losses, it seems like they've improved extraordinary just because how the landscape has really shifted to be in their favor. So good luck on the show and peace.
And peace to you, Doc Joe Brown. Salute the new Pistons Pro Wrestling Podcast. Check them out on Twitter at Pro Pistons. So many Pistons podcasts out there. It's beginning to sound like a little bit of a war. Maybe we should start aligning with other podcasts, set up some allies, like a game of Risk. The Ukraine is weak, but I digress. Thanks again to Doc Joe Brown for the call. Looking for your predictions, bold or otherwise, 810-666-1546. Leave a voicemail, tell us who you are, where you're from, and what you think about the Stones this year. But Atlanta coming to town tonight, 1-4 in the preseason. I'm saying this, the bold call, that this is not a red letter game. There's some people, not a lot of people, and I think less people as kind of the season got closer, that some people thought this was going to be a breakout team, a possible playoff contender in the Eastern Conference, and they are certainly better than last year, but not a playoff contending team this year. Let's pump the brakes on Atlanta a little bit. But who is on this team? These are the big early season question with a lot of these teams. Who he play for, like they would say on TNT. But who play for the Atlanta Hawks? Trae Young, of course, leading the way. Second year point guard rookies DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish, along with Bruno Fernando, the rookie from Maryland, that was looked at a lot by this podcaster in particular in terms of possibly being a backup center candidate for the Pistons. John Collins still there, of course. Kevin Huerter, who is probable with a knee injury, the shooter from Maryland, a couple of Maryland guys, the Terrapins, on the Atlanta Hawks, keeping the same school colors into their NBA careers. Chandler Parsons is on this team, as is Alan Crabb. Neither are playing tonight. Jabari Parker is on this team, as if the defense couldn't get any worse. Vince freaking Carter, who I think is 57 years old now. Evan Turner's out there, got traded from Portland for Kent Bazemore. So Evan Turner's out there. There's no real backup point guard on this team right now. We talked about them as possibly being a Kyrie Thomas destination. So maybe a little showing off of Kyrie Thomas at some point. Didn't get in the action in the opener for the Pistons, but maybe that's a possibility on the second game of a back-to-back. A bad defensive team, a really bad defensive team. Might have been the worst in the league last year with that, although Cleveland's probably the worst and will continue to be the worst. But Atlanta, super bad defensively. But you wonder about the advantage, about the young legs being fired up for their first game, although the Pistons are on the second half of back-to-back, contrastingly. Although I would imagine the second half of back-to-back is less impactful in game two of the season. I don't know. I could be wrong about that. So what is more of an impacting schedule trait? Is it the opening night rust that could hurt the Atlanta Hawks? We saw the Pacers and the Pistons go scoreless for several minutes, a rough early start in this game on Wednesday. Or is it worse to be on the second half of night two of a back-to-back? I think it's kind of a wash in those regards. But according to mybookie.ag, Detroit versus everybody, the disrespect. The Pistons are just one point favorites at home. Man, I don't know, a little bit of disrespect. Hopefully the crowd shows up well, but that's all I'm going to tell you about that. 1 point favorites, do with that information what you will. And speaking of information, got some great national shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. Locked On NBA, you know about that. Locked On Fantasy, you know about that. Rejecting the Screen, great wide-ranging NBA talk on Tuesdays, and then Thursdays, Noah and Adam have a long-form interview. And then the Hollinger and Duncan Show, a fantastic new show on the podcast network. The Once a Week with the amazing insight of John Hollinger, of course, Nate Duncan as well. A lot of good stuff going on with the Locked On Podcast Network and, of course, the Locked On Pistons podcast. I'll be at the arena. We'll get some good stuff for you on Friday's show from Thursday's home openers. Pistons take on the Atlanta Hawks. And we'll be back with another show on Friday, first thing in the morning. Appreciate you guys spreading the word. Putting up big numbers so far in the early going. Keep it going. Spread the word. Give us some clicks, retweets. Share us on Facebook. All that great stuff. Appreciate you guys. And appreciate you guys getting ready for another season of Pistons basketball here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, saying thanks for listening. Talk to you guys tomorrow.